Earlier this month, NASA launched a first-of-its-kind space mission aboard a SpaceX Falcon Heavy rocket. The destination? A potato-shaped, metal-rich asteroid, the 16th ever discovered, called Psyche. Here's a listen to some coverage from the launch on CBS, which featured the network's space consultant, Bill Harwood, cutting to NASA's feed.
Give us a sense of how this mission is supposed to unfold. Like, the rocket is going to fly around the asteroid, is going to crash into it. What's the plan? Oh, there it goes.
Well, let's come back to that in just a minute.
On a mission to a metal asteroid in deep space to study the building blocks of our planet's inner space.
Vehicle's pitching downrange.
M1D chamber pressure is nominal.
View there from the onboard camera on the booster. Beautiful shot there as it goes through the clouds.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Did you watch the launch of this mission? Are you following it? What questions do you have about why NASA wants to study a metal asteroid? Have you given much thought to the center of our planet or the interiors of other planets? Let us know. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email ideas@wpr.org. Sabina Stanley is an Earth and Planetary Sciences professor at Johns Hopkins University and author of the forthcoming book, What's Hidden Inside Planets? That's out on November 14th, available for pre-order now. Sabina, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much. Very happy to be here.
So first off, why does NASA want to go and study this asteroid?
Yeah, great question. This is a really unique opportunity because what we're really interested in is what happens in the deep interior of our planet Earth. But it's actually really hard to get to the center of Earth. It turns out to be easier, actually, to go out to the asteroid belt and examine this metal-rich world, which is really very similar to the core of our planet. So by going out there, we're journeying to the center of the Earth, and we're going to be able to learn about the center of Earth by going to this asteroid far away.
And I understand that scientists think that this may have been part of what's called a planetesimal before it ended up in the asteroid belt. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. So a lot of the asteroids in the asteroid belt are sort of what's left over after planet formation finished, right? So we started with really small pebbles. Those grew bigger. Eventually, you got to meter-sized bodies and these planetesimals. And so if we can go to the asteroid belt and see these asteroids, we're really seeing the ingredients that went into making Earth and the other planets in the solar system.
And how do we know what we already know about this asteroid Psyche?
So there are ways to get data from from other bodies in the solar system. There's been a series of telescopic observations of Psyche up until now, and that's how we've learned about it.
And I understand that this is gonna take some time, this journey by the Psyche probe. What is its journey like? How long is it going to take? Could you talk about the route for it to get there?
Yeah, great question. So nothing in planetary science is fast. And in order to get from Earth, where we launched, out to the asteroid belt, we can't go directly because that takes a lot of fuel. So we're actually going to be using the assistance of some of our neighboring planets to kind of give us gravitational assists to get out there. So there will be a gravitational assist. It's going to get Psyche out get the mission Psyche out to the asteroid Psyche in July of 2029, and then it's going to orbit there for 2 years.
And what will it be doing as it orbits this asteroid?
Yeah, great question. It's going to be taking a bunch of observations and data. The mission has cameras that can take pictures of the surface. It has something called the spectrometer, which tells you a lot about the composition of the surface. And then it has my favorite instrument, a magnetometer, which is used to measure magnetic fields of the planet. And it also has a radio instrument, which, although it's really there to help us communicate with the mission, it also can measure gravity fields on Psyche. So by using this combination of magnetic fields, gravity fields, compositional information, we're going to be able to learn a lot about the interior of the body.
And you mentioned your favorite tool was the one that measured magnetic fields. Is that going to help us determine what kind of metals are in this asteroid?
Yeah, great question. It's not so much determining what kind of metals. It's more trying to understand the question, did this asteroid in its past have a dynamo. So Earth's magnetic field, the thing that surrounds us and protects us from a lot of the harmful solar wind particles, it's created in our core by something called the dynamo process, where churning fluids in the core, churning liquid metals, generate magnetic fields, and we can observe them or measure them here at the surface. So we want to know if Psyche had a magnetic field sometime in its past. And if it did, then the metals on the surface, then the rocks on the surface, will actually probably maintain that magnetic field. So we're going to try and measure it and see if there are magnetic fields frozen into the surface rocks that would tell us that it had a dynamo in its past.
We're talking with Sabina Stanley right now, Earth and Planetary Sciences Professor at Johns Hopkins, about a new NASA mission, the Psyche mission, going to a metallic asteroid in the asteroid belt to hopefully learn more about the Earth's core and other planetary cores. We're also taking your questions and comments about planetary exploration and geology at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And Sabina, as someone who researches planets so intimately like you do, what are you most excited or hopeful to learn from this mission?
So there's an interesting story behind this mission in Psyche. Some of our original or initial measurements or data from the planet suggested that it was really almost all metal. But more recent data suggests that, no, there might actually be some rocky part to it, too, some of the same sort of stuff that makes up the surface of Earth. So I'm really interested that when we get there and we look up close, is it all the metal at the center and then it's got some sort of shell of rock in it? Is there lots of metal at the surface? Are we going to see iron volcanoes, metal craters, things like this? I'm really excited to get close up and get some of those early measurements.
And you're also a participating scientist for NASA's Mars InSight mission. How does your work on that project inform what you're looking for on this Psyche project?
Yeah, they're actually quite similar in terms of the philosophy behind the missions. The InSight mission was the first mission to Mars that was there to study the inside of Mars rather than kind of rove over the surface and learn about the surface. And so the InSight mission was a lander, landed on the surface of Mars, and it used tools such as a seismometer to measure Mars quakes and figure out from the Mars quakes, which are these waves that travel through Mars, what the interior structure of Mars is like. So it's again about learning about the interior of the body. And so Psyche has a similar philosophy in that we're going to learn about the interior of Psyche.
And before we move on, I just want to kind of a gee whiz note about this mission is that the probe is fueled by xenon gas and solar electric. And it sounds like that's kind of a novel thing.
Yes, I believe it's the first time that this has flown.
Wow, very cool. We are talking with Sabina Stanley, a planetary sciences professor at Johns Hopkins University, also author of the forthcoming book, What's Hidden Inside Planets. We're talking about the new NASA mission to study a metal-filled asteroid called Psyche, and we're going to talk more coming up about the interiors of planets themselves, why they're so interesting, why they're important. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for our guest about this new mission, about Mars, the interiors of planets? She studied a lot of it. What are you curious about when it comes to planetary formation and space? Let us know at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Dean Kinetter. Right now, we're picking up our talk about NASA's new mission to study a metal-containing asteroid in our solar system and what planets are made of and how we're learning more about it. Our guest is Sabina Stanley, Earth and Planetary Sciences Professor at Johns Hopkins University and author of the forthcoming book, What's Hidden Inside Planets. And Sabina, I want to ask, what got you interested in studying the planets and specifically what's inside them?
Yeah, that's a great question. I love the challenge of it because you're trying to figure out what's going on in a place that you really can't access, right? It's like you've been given this really beautifully wrapped present that you can't open, and you want to try all sorts of ways to learn about what is inside the box, right? You shake it, you weigh it, you do all these things. But then another aspect of it is suddenly imagine that the reason that the box is so beautiful on the outside is because of what's inside. Then you really want to know what's going on inside. And that's true for planets too. Many of the things that make Earth the wonderful paradise it can be on the surface here for human life is because of the processes going on in the interior.
Could you talk a bit more about that? What is it that's going on perhaps inside Earth that allows it to be a habitable planet?
Sure. First of all, I'm going to go to magnetic fields, which are my favorite thing. The core of the Earth generates a dynamo, which creates a magnetic shield that surrounds the planet. And this stops really harmful solar radiation and cosmic rays from getting too close to the surface of the Earth, where it would have lots of interfering effects as radiation does. So that's one example. Another one, volcanoes, although they can be incredibly destructive, also end up bringing lots of volatiles, gases to the surface of the Earth. So our atmosphere has essentially been outgassed from the center of the planet out to where we can now breathe it. A third example is just heat as well, right? Nowadays, we are really interested in developing energy sources that are friendly to the planet. So for example, geothermal energy is coming from the heat within the Earth. And so it's important to learn about what causes all those things that make it so comfortable here on the surface of the Earth.
We're talking with Sabina Stanley, Earth and Planetary Sciences Professor at Johns Hopkins University. We're taking your calls, too, at 800-642-1234. Let's go to the phones. Neil is with us in Milwaukee. Hi, Neil.
Hi. I was wondering if there's any kind of way they could mine that asteroid to avoid tearing up the Earth.
Gotcha, Neil. Thanks for the call. Sabina, I don't think that's the goal of this mission, but are these mineable resources that are on these asteroids, stuff that would be familiar to us on Earth?
So there are resources on asteroids. There are resources essentially on every planetary body. And there are some companies out there that are interested in looking at whether or not it would be profitable to mine it. You can imagine that it costs a lot of money to even mine things on Earth. Imagine now having to send a rocket and all that instrumentation out to space to go get stuff and then bring it back. So there are definitely companies out there interested in it. It's not happening at the moment.
And earlier you mentioned you compared investigating the inside of a planet to shaking a gift box and trying to figure out what's in there. Some of the ways we do that are, well, one, this mission to this asteroid. You also mentioned the Mars waves that study the inside of that planet's makeup. Are there other ways that we can go about learning what's inside these planets?
Yeah, there's a few things I'll mention. One of my other favorite ways to study the inside of a planet is through its gravity field. So I know in our regular lives, we think of gravity as being this fixed thing. And if you're doing a math homework problem, you might give it a value like 9.8 meters per second squared. But really, the gravity that you feel on Earth changes with every step you take around the planet. Now, it's a very tiny change in the gravity, but that gravity change is coming from differences in the mass of the Earth right below you. So when we go to a planet with an instrument that can measure gravity, we can actually learn about how the material inside the planet is distributed and what is where. And are there things like convection where, or like plumes of material coming up from the inside? So gravity is one great way to learn about it. Another interesting way is to actually take materials that we're used to here on the surface of the Earth, things like water, helium, rocks, and ask what happens to them when they get under really high pressure and temperature, because the interiors of planets are extreme places. And so you can do experiments where you can take water and you can use giant lasers and really interesting experiments, diamond experiments, to crush things and really squish them a lot and see what new materials you get out of that. And that's another way that we learn about what's going on deep inside planets.
We got an email from Jeff in La Crosse who asks, he says, I understand Psyche might be the core of a planet. He asks, what happened to the rest of the planet? How large might it have been? Was it an original part of our solar system? What do we know about that?
Yeah, the short answer is we don't know. What we do have are other examples to look at. So I'll give you probably the one that people are most familiar with. Mercury, the innermost planet in our solar system, has a really large core and a really thin rocky mantle on it. And that's really hard to make a planet like that from scratch, let's say. So what people think happened at Mercury is that another relatively large-sized body had a glancing impact with the proto-Mercury, whatever it was before, and essentially sheared off or ripped off all of that outer rocky layer, leaving a lot of core on the inside. And we think a similar sort of process might have happened with Psyche. So again, another asteroid-sized body coming by and having a collision with it and shearing off the material surrounding it. Now, where did that material go? Great question. We actually get material like this all the time on the surface of the Earth in the form of meteorites. So many of the meteorites we have on the surface of the Earth were from asteroids out in the asteroid belt that got hit and perturbed and crushed into pieces and eventually came and made their way to the surface of the Earth. So who knows, perhaps we have, unknowingly, we have some remnant of that rocky outer part of Psyche here on Earth.
And Sabina, if there was a, I know you're working on Mars right now, if there was one planet maybe besides Mars that you could really just get inside of and figure out everything about the core, whether it's in our solar system or elsewhere, what would it be?
Yeah, so I have a soft spot in my heart for the two ice giants in our solar system, Uranus and Neptune. These are fascinating bodies. They're mostly made of water. And when you take water and you crush it under really high pressures, it just becomes a really different beast. We think in the deep interior of Uranus and Neptune, in addition to the water, there are things like carbon-based elements and so forth. We think there might be diamond icebergs floating on a sea of diamond. We think there might be superionic water, which is a new phase of water that you don't experience here on the surface of the Earth. Diamond rain. These are things that I think are absolutely fascinating. So I would love to see a new mission going out to Uranus and Neptune.
Wow. Okay, that's pretty cool. One last question I have for you. Those gas giants, do they have any kind of rocky core, or are they, you know, gas all the way through?
The answer to that is kind of. So rocky, not like we're used to here, not like a surface that you could stand on, right? Because when you take even rocky type materials and you put them under the extreme pressures and temperatures that would be happening inside Uranus and Neptune or even Jupiter and Saturn, the rocks aren't the same thing. They're molten. They might even be plasma. They might have been ripped apart from their regular elemental structure and their molecular structure. So they can be very different. So I don't think it's easy to think of them as like a rocky Earth that's just surrounded with a bunch of gas on top of it. The fundamental nature of that interior part just completely changes.
Well, Sabina, thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing all this with us.
Thanks so much. This has been great.
Sabina Stanley is Earth and Planetary Sciences Professor at Johns Hopkins University. She's author of the forthcoming book, What's Hidden Inside Planets? That comes out on November 14th and is currently available for pre-order online. We talked with her about planetary cores, as well as NASA's Psyche mission that launched this month to study a metal-containing asteroid, which could answer some big questions about the makeup of planets.